Hello, Audio Boo. This is Friday the 13th of March, and this is the 13th day of marching on. Apologies for not having done the 11th or the 12th. I had some problems with my Audio Boo account, so my 10th got uploaded on the 11th, through no fault of my own, really, and then the 12th yesterday, I really wasn't well, so I didn't really feel like doing anything. So apologies for that, and hopefully it's okay to still keep doing what I'm doing. So I'm going to do the 13th day of marching on. And I've been thinking about it since yesterday, what I was going to do today. And I thought I would try to explain what suffering from anxiety means for the benefit of those who kind of don't understand it, may think it's a bit weird, or that we just don't want to deal. I know several of my Audio Boo friends here, as well as several of my non-Audio Boo friends, deal with anxiety on different levels. And you've heard some people talk about it. Even though it's public, I'm not going to expose them. They can repeat what they want to repeat if they want to repeat. But I think that anxiety is a disability. It truly, really and truly is. And the problem with emotional disabilities, if you will, they are a bit harder to grasp. For example, if someone is, blind, then someone is blind. You can't really dispute that. It is what it is. They can't see. If someone is wheelchair bound, then they can't walk. If someone is hearing impaired, well, they are hearing impaired. What does it mean to suffer from anxiety? Well, I'm dropping all sorts of crap here. I see. A lot of my friends struggle with anxiety, and as a sufferer, as someone who suffers with anxiety myself, I see both, on the one hand, me and my friends and I struggling, and on the other hand, I see, quote, the other people not understanding it and think that either we don't want to cope or don't want to deal or aren't strong enough. Now, notice that I have said suffering from or suffering with anxiety. You will never catch me saying suffering from blindness, even though I am blind. I don't consider that a suffering. I do consider anxiety a suffering. Not only that, but hand on heart, I find my anxiety, and I know some of my blind friends who also suffer with anxiety might relate to this. Personally, I find my anxiety more debilitating to me than my blindness. It's not because, well, maybe because I have more tools to cope with blindness, I don't know. But I find that my anxiety prevents me from doing a lot of things or makes me incapacitated in ways that my blindness doesn't. Now, those of us with anxiety, it can manifest itself in many forms and many levels. It can be anywhere from sometimes stressing a bit too much to something that affects us every day to somewhere in the middle. Unfortunately, I fall into the affects me every day category. And while it doesn't leave me completely helpless, I feel it every day. I struggle with it every single day of my life. And even though I you know, for me, officially, I've been suffering with this since the year 2000 when I was actually diagnosed with a generalized anxiety disorder. I believe that I have had anxiety my whole life. It's just that in the year 2000 it got a name, if that makes sense. Now let me try and explain. Excuse me, I'm just sorting out. I'm putting away some of the food we had for dinner. I'm putting that in the fridge because I don't want to forget. Let me try and explain in cold terms what scientifically it means to have an anxiety disorder. And then I'll try and tell you how it feels. I guess what I'm trying to achieve is understanding. And, you know, sometimes, yes, there are people who are lazy, but people who truly have anxiety truly have it. Now, every one of us has an instinct called fight or flight, which means that it's an instinct of survival. When we sense danger, our body goes into a state of alertness. Our heart rate goes up, our breathing accelerates, we become focused on a certain thing, and all this is caused because we release a hormone, if you will, which is created in the adrenal gland, which is next to the kidneys, I believe, and that's called adrenaline. Adrenaline is the hormone responsible for us being able to cope with stress. It kicks in when we need it. It kind of is on kind of like an injection kind of thing, and it injects us with itself when our body feels either threatened or excited, or you know, when a situation, you know, when you, excuse me, when you when you feel your heart rate increasing and all that stuff, you are getting basically a shot of adrenaline into your bloodstream. That's one hormone that is important to this state. Another hormone, well, no, I'll deal with the other hormone later. What basically happens is that we, in very simplistic terms, it's not as simple, but it's almost that simple, have an excess of either an excess of this hormone, or it gets injected at the wrong time. It gets triggered at the wrong time. It's too easily triggered. The threshold for triggering this is low. With some of us, it's triggered 24/7, and that's when we need our medication. Now, so that means we are always on alert. We cannot relax. Some of us suffer from accelerated heart rate. Some of the symptoms can be, you know, accelerated heart rate, sweating, accelerated breathing. Some of the symptoms I've heard of is people constantly needing to use the toilet, like in an unreasonable, at an unreasonable frequency. What else? You know, some people shake. Some people have digestive issues. They throw up. With me, it's usually increased heart rate, and this kind of feeling. It's not chest pains. But it is a feeling of like someone is sticking their fist into my chest, like this weight
this kind of something sitting on my chest that I can't, like, you know, that you have to kind of like, you have to kind of breathe. And, you know, this is how it manifests itself with me. Cyclic thinking, focusing on the one thing that is causing me anxiety. And sometimes things get so bad with, you know, and what we're mostly afraid of is not so, well, we are afraid of certain things, but what we fear actually is the loss of control, the panic attacks. Panic attacks feel horrible. They actually make you feel like you're going to die. Even though you're not, there's nothing physically wrong with you. You get all these symptoms that I described, only like 10 times worse. And you feel, and it comes in waves, and you feel like there's nothing whatsoever that you can do, and you feel helpless, and you don't, and you're scared, witless, and you don't know what you're scared of. And so we always worry that something's going to happen, and we're afraid of this feeling of panic, of this loss of control. The worst thing that can happen to a person who gets panic attack is getting the panic attack. And that's what we fear. We fear the next attack and we don't want it. So we're obsessed with that. And we feel like sometimes we get obsessed with things like, if I go outside, I'm going to pass out. Or, you know, there's too many people around me, you know. It's very, very hard to explain, but it's a very real feeling. Even though physically it's not real as such. I mean, the symptoms are real, but physically nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to really pass out, but you can't. It has nothing to do with rational thinking. And in fact, sometimes rational thinking is just the remedy you need, but sometimes rational thinking is, it just kind of frustrates you, because even though you know that nothing's going to happen to you, you get frustrated because you know your analytical mind doesn't stop working. You know you're having the anxiety attack. You know. Okay, this is an anxiety attack. I know nothing's going to happen to me. Yet you can't stop being afraid, and you feel like your body is betraying you. Like, you know, you get angry with yourself, and that makes it so much worse. There's two schools of thought with this. One school of thought says, when you get a panic attack, work through it. Think rationally. Say to yourself, I'm not dying. This is what's happening to me. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I know nothing's going to happen to me. And try and occupy your mind with things that require cognitive power, such as try and get someone to, if you have a partner, and I'm very, very lucky to have a partner who understands this, get them to talk to you or get them to engage you in thought-provoking conversation. One time, a therapist of mine, as I was having a panic attack, she started asking me like mathematical equations, really simple ones, like don't try and find the exact definition of pi, but 5 + 2, 4 + 2, 6, you know, simple things, and get the person who's, you know, get them to get you to answer quickly. So I find that helps me. Another school of thought suggests to leave the rational and to work through your panic attack and accept that this is a panic attack and ride the wave, if you will. I don't like that. I feel that leaves me a little bit out of control. It does work for some people. Some people work through panic attacks that way. They say it goes away quicker. I personally can't let go of that and let it happen. I need to try and stop it. And eventually it will stop, but it can take up to a few hours. The longest one I had was, quite a few hours, probably about 12 hours, maybe even more. Almost 20, actually it was a day and a night. And Sometimes there are panic attacks at night where you, and I've been having quite a few of those lately, where you kind of, you don't feel, they have a scientific name that I can't remember right now, but you wake up, you kind of jolt awake from sleep, and so you're afraid to sleep. So this happens as a result of too much adrenaline. Now, I did mention another hormone, and this goes hand in hand with adrenaline. In addition to us having a bit more adrenaline than we want or need, most of us have a deficiency in serotonin. Serotonin is the hormone in our brain that makes us feel good. Not endorphins, but it controls the kind of release of feel-good hormones. So because a lot of us have, those of us who have this excess adrenaline, we have a deficiency in serotonin. And so a lot of us have issues with depression along with our anxiety. So it's a whole big party with depression, anxiety. It's fun, believe me. No, it's not. Personally, my problem is more anxiety than depression, but they do go hand in hand. I have suffered with this because it tires you out and it makes you depressed and it makes you down and it makes you unmotivated. So for me, they go hand in hand. Some people get more depressed. Some people get more anxious. I get more anxious. I do get depressed at certain points. But the depression is not my main thing. It's mainly the anxiety. So these are very real issues. If you have a friend who is afraid to leave the house, who has, you know, who developed, you know, what you will say, oh, you developed some kind of phobia or some kind of, you know, this is all part of anxiety and it's very, very real. And to those of us who have this, it's more real than you can imagine and it's the most debilitating thing. Some people I know cannot leave the house. Personally, I have days when I'm afraid to leave the house. I leave the house. I'm not at the stage where I can't leave the house, but some days I really prefer not to. And if someone asks me, what are you afraid of? I can't really explain it, but the prospect of going out and dealing with people becomes a task that's a scary task. Now, of course, we all have good days and we feel great about ourselves when we go out. Once we manage to go out and do stuff, we usually feel better. And then we want to keep going out because we like to seek the kind of remedy and the place where we feel better. But getting us to the point where we start is difficult. And being hard on someone with anxiety, doing the tough love thing, doesn't really help because we already don't understand what's happening. So we don't need someone else to not understand it. We need support. Sometimes we do need a little bit of a kick, but not often. Because we know we are already kicking ourselves for it because we're not happy. And fellow anxious people, I hope it's okay that I'm speaking for you as well as for myself, but I know how you feel. So, you know, some people don't understand. People ask me, oh, you've stopped going out. You've stopped coming to social gatherings. You know, people think you just don't want to see them. And it's just not that at all. It's nothing could be further from the truth. We want to have friends. We want to see people and be accepted and loved. But for some reason, we're afraid that we won't be. And that's where the anxiety comes from. We're afraid people will not like us, will judge us, will hate us, will say that we're too fat, too thin, too stupid, too smart, too tall, too short, whatever. It's not a rational thing. It's something that is not tangible, and that's why it's such a problem to explain.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a real issue that many people struggle with. I have been on medication for a long time.
From time to time, you have to change your medication because you do develop a tolerance. And you have to be very careful because there are withdrawal symptoms. And right now, I am in the process of trying to withdraw, of trying to stop the current medication that I'm taking and trying to change to a natural remedy. Now, I've started the natural remedy. I haven't stopped the other. I have to be in the natural remedy for a week before I slowly decrease the other. And it's a very scary process because part of what gives us reassurance is, okay, well, if we get a panic attack, we can take half a pill and it will help. It's not an addiction as such because we don't need to do it all the time, but it's the reassurance that it's there if we need it. And people will say, well, it's a crutch, you know, you should work on yourself and tell yourself you don't need it. It doesn't work like that. If we have high blood pressure, then it's okay to take medication for blood pressure. If we have diabetes, then it's okay to take medication for diabetes. And so if we have anxiety, it's okay to take medication for anxiety. The reason why, personally, I want to stop or change is because I feel that the one I'm taking now isn't as effective as it should be. And so I see I don't see that there's a point in taking this particular medication if it's not helping me and I'm suffering from side effects like insomnia and actually it's not helping. There's still withdrawal symptoms though. So this is something we have to deal with. I know there's someone else here on Audioboo. If you follow her, you know who she is. That is also, funnily enough, going through exactly the same thing I am. And I was very surprised to hear how similar the things are and the symptoms. So what I'm trying to say is if someone is suffering from anxiety, they're not making excuses, they're not making it up, and, you know, there's nothing really wrong with us. It's not a mental illness, it's a disorder. It's definitely not a mental illness as such, but it is a mental, emotional disorder, but it stems from purely physical things. If we have physically too much adrenaline, then we can't really control that. Few tricks for those of us, you know, to manage our anxiety. Let's say if I go to the dentist and they need to, give me a shot to kind of give me a little a local anesthetic. There are most dentists, you can ask them to give you a local anesthetic that does not contain adrenaline. They're usually are not happy to use them because they're a little bit more expensive, and most people don't need them. But if you can get them to use a local anesthetic that does not contain adrenaline, you will have it will be less stressful for you because the last thing you need is more adrenaline. Oddly enough, though, things like exercise that does help, even though it does increase your adrenaline, but it also increases your endorphins, and so it gets the serotonin going a bit more. So that's really good. If you can engage in daily exercise, or at least 3-4 times a week, which reminds me, I need to get on the treadmill. I haven't done that today. Thank you for reminding myself. Thank me. And I will do that right now as I finish. And it's very good. Those of us who have anxiety like to make plans and stick to them. We don't like things changing at the last minute. We don't like kind of not knowing what we're doing. It doesn't mean that we're not flexible, but we prefer to know exactly what we're going to do and to stick to it and to follow a plan. It doesn't mean that we are like obsessed with a plan or that we have to do it like to the letter. It just means that if we know the path we're taking, it's much more reassuring than to kind of figure things out as we go along. So those of us who have anxiety, if we make plans with someone and someone messes about with us at the last minute, we don't take kindly to that. And that because our anxiety loves this kind of stuff and that brings it on. So that's, you know, because we kind of, if we make plans, we have to kind of psych ourselves and work ourselves emotionally to fit with the plan. And then when it changes on us the last minute, it's very difficult to deal with. Again, not because we don't want to or because we're inflexible or intransigent. It's just that it is a little bit more difficult for us than it is for other people. I won't waffle on too much. I hope that explains something, that gave someone a bit of an understanding as to what anxiety is and how it feels. It's not fun, as I said to me. It's much more debilitating than not being able to see. If anybody has any questions, you can ask me. You can DM me or whatever. And that's it. I hope that you all have a lovely day. And hopefully I will be able to do the 14th day tomorrow. Pause record, 33 minutes. Pause recording. Button.